In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. As our people stormed into Jericho, I am certain that they truly believed that they were doing God's work. As they butchered the men, as they slaughtered the women, as they killed the children, and as they killed every animal, everything that was alive, I believe they thought they were an instrument of God's work and salvation. They were following Joshua, after all. His name meant Yahweh, our God, saves. They believed he was the prophet to succeed Moses. He was a student of Moses, their fearless leader that had brought them to this place. This Joshua, this Yahweh saves, brought the people through the waters of the Jordan River and into the land of promise. And in this land, our people took hold of it with violence. Genocide, actually. Wiping out entire peoples. Man, woman, little children. Because they believed this was their manifest destiny. That God had given them this land, and this was the way that they were going to take hold of it. They were stepping out of the wilderness. It was time to grow up, so they thought. It's time to put on our big boy pants and fend for ourselves. As we go into the promised land, we will be self-reliant. We will grab power. Wealth. We will finally be like the nations that have been beating us down. They believed that they were a part of God's work of salvation. When the manna stopped, that daily bread from heaven that God was giving to our people, I don't think our people batted an eye. I think they assumed this was the next step in the progress and evolution of them as a people. They had been helpless children in the wilderness for 40 years, and they wanted to finally stand on their own. No more manna, no more reliance being leeches on God's provision. They were going to be a people who established themselves with power, wealth, and authority in this new land. It is that belief that I think allowed them to swing their swords so brutally. To watch the screaming infants die, the blood spilled in their hands, all in the name of God. This was God's work, God's salvation. And when this Joshua died, the people fell apart even more. What little faithfulness was left crumbled. His death led to more death and more unfaithfulness. It was when that second Joshua started to preach that we started to question the first Joshua. This Joshua, Joshua of Nazareth, Jesus as the Greeks called him, this Joshua showed up living a different message. He too went through the waters of the Jordan River. And he too claimed to be leading our people into a promised land. But his message couldn't have been any more different than the first Joshua that led us into the land of Canaan. This Joshua from Nazareth preached a completely different message. Instead of the self-reliance that the first Joshua had taught us, this Joshua told us that we needed to let go. That we needed to go back to leaning on God. That instead of grabbing for wealth and power as we had done when we entered into the land of Canaan, this Joshua told us that the path of salvation, the way that God truly works, the path of God's real salvation was of letting go. Letting go of the wealth that we had grabbed for in Canaan. Letting go of the power that we had fought for as the blood of the children spilled all around us. That instead of genocide against our enemies, this Joshua told us, "No, I tell you, love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. Do not resist a person of evil. Do not take revenge." He claimed that in turning the other cheek, into giving our bodies over to the oppressors, bearing our own crosses, that somehow that, he claimed, was where God's real salvation lies. That is where God was at work. We thought we were big stuff as we had grown up outside of the need for God's daily manna. But this new Joshua told us to pray for daily bread. He told us to not worry about our futures. To not worry about what we would eat or what we would drink, because our God took care of the flowers. And the birds of the air, would he certainly not take care of us as he did our own people in the wilderness for 40 years? We weren't supposed to grow up out of manna. He told us, unless you become again like a little child, relying on the Father for your daily needs, you cannot participate, he said, in God's kingdom, in his salvation, in his work of superabundance for all people. And at this Joshua's death, things were different. The first Joshua had died, and he had only brought more death through his death. And also more unfaithfulness from our people. They wandered further and further from relying on our God. But when this new Joshua from Nazareth was crucified, and we thought it was all over, his death miraculously brought new life. 3 days later, he was back from the dead. God had provided for this Joshua in his weakness. This Joshua had refused to take up the sword on behalf of himself or on the behalf of his people. And God had honored that. Joshua of Nazareth, this Jesus, had been raised from the dead. From his death came new life. From his death came greater faithfulness for our people. A new community was born, a community that laid aside the violence of the sword that we had been living by for generation after generation. A community that laid aside the need to store and hoard things up for ourselves because we were scared of what lay ahead when we were old. A community that said, God will provide bread from heaven. That Joshua had told us, I am the bread from heaven. If you feed on me and my word, you will experience life. And death will never be able to truly control you again. Feed on this bread. Lean on God as a child once again. Our people are left with two stark images of Joshua's. Two voices who claim to speak for God. Two voices who claim to bring God's salvation into the world. Which Joshua will our people, will you listen to? Two totally different visions of a promised land. The first Joshua urging us to be more self-reliant, self-sufficient, to grow up, to grab power and authority and wealth for ourselves, to stand up. And another Joshua who says to kneel down, to lay down your life in all wealth and all power at the feet of God, because that is where power resides, in true weakness. I know that our world has bought into the first vision of a promised land, a manifest destiny that we can grab for ourselves through our own self-sufficiency, our own power, our own weapons, our own wealth building. But it's my prayer that the second Joshua's voice will never be silenced, that all people would hear his call to a different promised land. A land where we are servants. A land where we are helpless children. Because our God is so big and so powerful and so present and so much on our side that nothing can stand against us. That second Joshua, Joshua of Nazareth, his vision is more beautiful to me. And I pray that we will catch that vision of his salvation, of his vision of what God is truly like. Everyone claims that God is on their side. Everyone thinks they're doing the work of God. But what are we doing? How are we doing it? With a fight for control and violence? Or in letting go? Weakness, humility, and trust that our God is big enough to handle all of our problems and all of our world's problems. That God will save us. He will provide. He will be with us. Amen.